Hello, welcome to Campbelltown Free Church for Psalm of the Week. Today we're going to have a second look at Psalm 89, the long psalm which brings to conclusion Book 3 of the Psalter. Last time we read verses 1 to 18 of Psalm 89, and today we're going to read verses 19 to 52. So let's listen to what God says to us in his word, the Bible. Once you spoke a vision to your faithful people, you said, I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David my servant. With the sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Saviour. I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love for him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have altered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. But you have rejected, you have spurned, you have been very angry with your anointed one. You have renounced the covenant with your servant and have defiled his crown in the dust. You have broken through all his walls and reduced his stronghold to ruins. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbours. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have turned back the edge of his sword and have not supported him in battle. You have put an end to his splendour and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with a mantle of shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life, for what futility you have created all men. Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all the nations, the taunts with which your enemies have mocked, O Lord, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. This psalm pivots around Psalm 89, verses 19 to 37, verses that focus on God's covenant with David, which you can read it all about in 2 Samuel 7, 1 to 17. It's this that enables Psalm 89 simultaneously to look back to the devastation brought about by God's judgment and to look forward to the deliverance which will be brought about by God's Saviour. What this key section of Psalm 89 highlights is that both the devastation and the deliverance come because of God's faithfulness to his covenant. References to God's faithfulness litter the opening chunk of Psalm 89, and they're all pointing towards the positives of God's covenant, the ones mentioned in verses 19 to 29. And all this feeds our assumption that God's faithfulness only means something positive. Good things happen as God keeps his word and brings blessings. And we're deep within our comfort zone, on our feet singing, Your steadfast love is great, O Lord. It reaches heavens high. Your faithfulness is wonderful, extending to the sky. But then in verses 38 to 51, Ethan the Ezrahite, Psalm 89's writer, starts to take us well outside our comfort zone. He's still talking about God's faithfulness to his covenant, but now it is, "But you have rejected us," verse 38. Everything is now negative. What is going on? Where is God's faithfulness to his covenant? Well, it's still up and running. We forget that God's covenant has a responsibility clause written into it. You'll find it in verses 30, 31 and 32. God warns that if his people break the covenant by their unfaithful disobedience, then lots of negativity in the shape of disciplining devastation would crash into their lives. And this is exactly what happened with the Babylonian exile, the backdrop to Psalm 89. The Babylonian exile is not God treacherously breaking his word, but actually God faithfully keeping his word. Last time I did flag up that when we ask God why things do not work out the way we hoped they would, his answer might be unwelcome. You see, we have covenant responsibilities as well as enjoying covenant privileges. And when we are unfaithful and do not carry these covenant responsibilities out, God remains faithful to his covenant and he brings disciplining setbacks into our lives. Now, we really don't want to hear that, but this negativity is as much a part of God being faithful to his covenant as the positive stuff. However, God's judgment is never his last word. Psalm 89 does not end with devastation, but with deliverance. And again, it is God's faithfulness to his covenant with David that points forward to this deliverance. Notwithstanding catastrophic human failure to shoulder the covenant responsibilities which lead to his judgment, God refuses to tear up the covenant. Verses 33 to 37. "But I will not betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. David's line will continue forever and his throne endure before me like the sun." In spite of our disobedience, God is still going to keep his covenant promises. So even if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It's God's faithfulness that gives Ethan the Ezrahite the hope of deliverance, and it drives him to prayer, asking God to remember his covenant with David and to send a descendant of David to rescue God's people from God's judgment, verses 46 to 51. But nothing seems to be happening on that front. When will God remember his covenant and act to deliver his people? Roughly 500 years have passed, and most people have given up on God answering Ethan the Ezrahite's prayer in Psalm 89. But then, one night, a bunch of shepherds outside Bethlehem are startled by an angel. The angel tells them not to be afraid because God has remembered his covenant with David and has acted to deliver his people from his judgment caused by their unfaithful disobedience. A saviour has been born in David's town. Jesus, a descendant of David, has come to save God's people. He would faithfully keep the covenant responsibilities perfectly, and he would also die to bear the punishment for God's people's unfaithfulness and covenant breaking. Jesus, the Saviour, great David's greater son, has come to make the blessings of God's deliverance experienced as far as the devastation of God's judgment is felt. And you can experience these covenant blessings, and you do it by trusting in Jesus alone. Let's pray for a moment. Father, who through faith in Jesus and by the activity of the Holy Spirit have called us into fellowship with yourself, you are faithful in all you say and do. We praise you that you have remembered the covenant promises you made to Abraham and David by sending Jesus to be our strong Saviour. Through him you have redeemed us, delivering us from all our enemies of sin, death, and Satan. Through him you have rescued us from your wrath, the consequence of our disobedience and failure. Through him you have given us the experience of your salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. Yet even as we bless you for all your faithfulness, we confess before you once again our unfaithfulness. We have not carried out our covenant responsibilities. We have not served you wholeheartedly and exclusively. We have not lived holy and righteous lives. Father, our only hope is that you always keep your word. You have said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So as we confess our sins, we rest upon your faithfulness to your promises and ask that on the basis of Jesus' death, you would cleanse us from all our covenant unfaithfulness. Help us to live lives of faithful obedience to our covenant responsibilities in the day ahead. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son, and our faithful Saviour and King, who with you and the Holy Spirit reign as one God, now and forever. Amen.